Welcome, everybody, to the Sun on the Strip podcast. I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun. Hope you are all well and safe today and looking for a little bit of Vegas because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm posting two new interviews with Vegas Strip entertainers every week for the Sun on the Strip. And today, it's Matt Franco. It's been more than 5 years since the young magician won America's Got Talent and started starring on the Strip. He's the headliner at The Link. And as the Strip has been shut down, Matt has jumped online and is performing a live weekly magic show on his Facebook channel. He's really emerged as kind of the next generation magic star in Las Vegas. And always doing different innovative things. Here is my conversation with Matt Franco from just a few days ago.
Now, you were one of the first Vegas entertainers, headliners, to kind of take to the internet and start doing your thing online once this shutdown happened. And now you're basically doing what, kind of a weekly show online?
Yeah, that's right. The show must go online. So since I can't get on stage, I have been doing these shows online on Wednesdays, 5 o'clock Vegas time. And I spend a lot of time practicing magic at home anyway. So I figured, you know what, might as well flick the camera on and be able to kind of interact and share that way.
And I'm sure the production values are incredibly high, like everybody's.
Well, you know, I have been stepping them up because I did the first one and it was completely on a whim. I think I announced it, you know, 3 hours before I did it. I just kind of tweeted out there or whatever. Hey, I think I'm going to go live in a few hours if anyone wants to watch. And people did. And at that point, it was just my phone propped up on a pile of books. So, you know, the second week was another version of that. And then coming into week three, I've got some professional lights. I've got a camera now that I have set up. So, you know, one bit at a time, we're stepping up the production value so that it's a little more tolerable to sit through. But people have just been really appreciative just because of all things considered. So I'm happy to share as long as people are still watching.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm still doing the pile of books tripod myself. I have yet to upgrade, but I appreciate your
efforts. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. It works. This is going to be my first attempt at it, so it might fail miserably, but I'm going to give it my best shot.
The last time that you and I spoke, it was in our studio at Greenspun Media Group, and we were doing a photo shoot and a big Q&A for Las Vegas Magazine. And I remember that how essential audience interaction is for you and your show. And even that it's not really magic until you get in your theater and pack it with people and do what you do. So what's it been like to kind of adjust to this temporary situation where you're not getting the same kind of feedback and reaction?
Yeah, the way audience participation is managed is totally changed for the time being. So even when we do persevere through all of this, there will be a lot of changes in terms of social distancing and things like that. So, but in terms of doing the stuff online, that's not something we have to worry about, thankfully. So we are still able to connect. You know, that's the whole point of the internet, right? That's how we're able to do these internet shows, is to still connect with each other, still have that give and take, have that feedback, be able to share that magic and kind of get people's response to it. That's all still there. The difference is that it's just digital rather than in person, which is actually kind of cool in a way. It's really pushing my comfort zone. This is not something I'm used to. I've never just decided I'm going to sit and, you know, stream live on the internet before. Maybe it makes me a bad millennial, but that's just not something I'm used to doing. And, you know, when you're accustomed to sharing your magic nightly, but being limited to only one theater, it's pretty amazing to be able to reach people globally from your kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, last time we met and did this, we were in a studio. And oftentimes when you do any sort of these things, interviews and so on, it's often at a studio or at a place. I'm like so spoiled now doing all of these things from my kitchen. I might never leave the house again, even once we're alive. So this is good.
Right. I was just talking to another Vegas friend, DJ Franzen, who's a resident DJ just a few properties away from you at the Link. He plays at Dre's at the Cromwell, and he's been DJing live on Instagram every night and is getting a pretty amazing response. And we were talking about how doing what he does in this different temporary way could impact how he does it when we get back in the club again soon. Are you thinking about that kind of stuff yet, how your show might be different when this is all over?
Yeah, mostly in regards to the way audience participation is managed, because you still want to have that interaction and that sort of relationship with the audience. That's what it's all about. I mean, yeah, I'm a magician, but like in a way, I'm really not in the field of doing magic tricks. I'm in the field of making memories, making connections, and like that's the important part. That's what people take away from art and entertainment, we hope, is that connection. So it's a matter of managing that connection and doing it in a way that, you know, maybe we have to control, you know, how we interact, whether it's bringing people on stage or choosing not to do that. All of those things get taken into consideration. And, you know, for the time being, it's just day by day. We have to just take it day by day as the new norms evolve.
I feel like you kind of do that with your show already, though. I mean, relative to other magic productions in Vegas, your show feels very flexible, like it can change a lot from night to night. And I think pulling that off requires a lot of confidence as a performer. Was there a point in your career when you think you sort of turned that corner and felt more comfortable improvising on stage and reacting to the audience the way that you do?
Yeah, it's not something that happens overnight. In fact, I still feel like I'm at that point in my career where I'm getting more confident and better at that. That's something that's kind of happening gradually over time. It's not something that just happens all at once. It's something that happens through years of experience and doing thousands of shows. But that's the part that makes it so much fun for me. So the reason I say I'm still learning that is because the more shows I do, which right now is zero shows, but the more shows that I do, the more jazz it becomes. And that's what really gets me jazzed up, is being able to really jazz and jive with the crowd in a way that keeps it fresh for me every single time. So I love that, and I find that the more shows I do, the more it gets to that point where I get to freestyle a little bit. And that's the other cool thing about doing it online, too. I don't have a production team around me like at the show at Link. So doing it here, there's a whole lot of jazz and a whole lot of just responding to live comments in real time and answering questions and taking requests. You know, people say, oh, can you teach us a trick? And I'll do that. You know, all sorts of things kind of apply from the stage show to doing it on the internet, too, which is kind of interesting. One of those aspects being the jazz aspect.
I know you watched and probably studied different illusionists and magicians when you were growing up and kind of falling in love with this art form. Did you ever have like just a single favorite trick when you were a kid, something that you saw somebody do and maybe dreamed of recreating someday?
I guess it's never been about a particular trick for me, but more about a style of entertaining, right? So I had three major influences growing up, a guy named Bill Malone, a guy named Jeff McBride, a guy named Lance Burton, of course, well-known here in Vegas, all three which are tuning into these Facebook things, which is really cool. And they all had different styles. You know, Lance was a stage magician. Jeff McBride's kind of an all-around performer, storyteller with a lot of different skill sets, and Bill Malone is a close-up magician, specializing in sleight of hand. So I kind of learned different aspects of magic through a variety of kind of different types of performers that really didn't have a whole lot in common. And that's kind of what helped develop my own style, was learning from that. But it's hard to say if there was like a particular trick. I guess that's like having a favorite song, but I've been less inclined to want to recreate or cover a song and more inclined to want to create new from those inspirations, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Was there ever a trick or an illusion that you saw someone do that was completely mystifying to you as you were like, you know, practicing and trying different things, or something that like you just could not figure out how it was done?
Absolutely. Yeah. Lots of examples of that. And I think that's part of what keeps magic alive is that mystery. People yearn for that feeling of being fooled for whatever reason. Seems kind of like an odd thing, but people apparently do enjoy it. And I do too. I love being fooled. And, you know, it happens when you spend time with talented folks in this art form. It totally happens, and it's the coolest thing in the world for me to feel.
Well, that's pretty amazing that some of your biggest influences are people that you're in touch with and that are watching what you're doing online these days. Even that's pretty awesome.
It really is unbelievable. You know, it's like wanting to be a rock star and then becoming friends with Mick Jagger. I mean, that's what it really does feel like. And gosh, I'm just so thankful for it. It's the coolest thing in the world, and I do think that remaining a student of magic and being able to share time with people you look up to and learn from them and really kind of understand their lessons and the lessons of their teachers, it's not only beneficial to be a better artist, but it's so enjoyable. It's just something that brings passion and just unbelievable. It's like just how I want to spend my time. Like I said, I mean, I'm sitting at home practicing for more hours than I'd like to admit. So why not share it? So that's why I started doing that. But really, I can't put it down. It's like, magic and practicing. It's an addiction for me, but it's a healthy one. So I embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Is there any, since we all do have a little bit more time on our hands than we want to have, is there any, digging back into archives and watching old videos and stuff like that to kind of revisit those influences and others?
So I have done a little bit of digging. I've even in my own archives, I saw a video yesterday of me performing for my third grade class. And one of the tricks I did, I currently do. Now, if you asked me, I would have never known that trick would have been on that video. And I do it a lot better now than I did then, but it sure was adorable to see. It was like watching a whole different person, because it was 20 years ago. But so I dug up some footage, digitized it so that it's preserved forever. But I'll tell you, a lot of those things I grew up watching, my influences, Bill Malone, Jeff McBride, Johnny Thompson, Lance Burton, those videotapes that I taped off of television, they're in my memory like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it's encyclopedic. If you ask me what happened on World's Greatest Magic 3, who hosted it, and what color tie was he wearing, I would tell you it was John Ritter and the tie was black. It's like that level of detail that I can play those things back in my head. So when I do refer back to something, it's usually something that I don't remember as well.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I think you've got a good quarantine program going over there.
My quarantine program is I walk the dogs. I take the bike out for a little bit of a ride. A little bit of video games, which is cool because I never play video games. My wife and I have watched a little bit of TV. We've never been big on that. But, we're passing the time. We know we've got another month ahead of it or so at least. So we're just kind of taking things one step at a time the same way we all are. It's kind of a crazy time. So just trying to make the best of a really tough situation.
Is there anything else that you want to say to any fans or people out there who are definitely looking forward to coming back to Vegas to see your show as soon as possible?
Just that I hope you're safe and well and stay positive. We will eventually get through this. And as soon as we do, I'll be back doing my thing when it's safe to do so. I'll be back out there performing in real life. And we'll see. I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot in the process of doing this stuff online, and we'll see how that affects the live show too. So more to come, but be well, everybody, and thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Sun on the Strip podcast. You can find past episodes at lasvegassun.com/podcast or on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for joining me. Be back in a couple days. Have a great week.